Welcome to Unperplexed, a weekly Parsha podcast where we take the guide of the perplexed of Maimonides, one of the most difficult, dry, and abstract texts in the history of Jewish literature, and mine it for everyday life lessons. Usually, we need to dig a little in order to understand the practical moral lessons and implications of the guide. However, this week is a famous exception to that, as the Rambam deals with one of the most important and famous aspects of our Parsha, the ladder of Jacob, explicitly and at some length. I don't want to interfere with this process, so I will simply cite and explain it to you. The beginning of the Guide of the Perplexed functions as a sort of religious dictionary. One of the main goals of this dictionary is to help you understand that even when the words of the Torah seem to describe things as physical, this is very often not really the case. In fact, the Torah uses such terms, but they are very often a metaphor or a container of some kind of spiritual or philosophical idea. Now, you may wonder to yourself why the Rambam should need to bother with explaining that God is not actually physical, even when the text of the Torah makes it sound like he is. Good question. But in fact, the reason that you find this obvious is because the Rambam successfully made his case to the Jewish people and to posterity that God does not have a body. We may assume that while most rabbis did not think that God had a body, it was a common enough belief even among some great scholars and certainly among the Jewish people at large before the time and writings of the Rambam. So the guide really opens up with a dictionary to help us as readers of the text understand that physical descriptions of God and physical descriptions of many things are really just spiritual or philosophical metaphors. The question at hand for us arises because the Torah describes Hashem as standing over Yaakov in the dream, implying that he has a body with which to stand. We read, "He dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set upon the ground, and its top reached towards the heavens, and behold, angels of God were going up and down on it. And behold, Hashem was standing over him, and he said, 'I am Hashem, the God of your father Avraham, and the God of Yitzhak. I will give the land upon which you are lying to you and your offspring.'" So this is the issue at hand. The Torah says Hashem was standing over him. What could this mean? What does it represent? The Rambam opens this passage, as he usually does, by first explaining a word's literal meaning. In our case, that is nitzav, as in to stand. However, the word can also mean to rise up or even indicate stability or permanence, as in the verse, "Your word stands in the heavens." No one thinks that a word is literally standing in the sky. We understand instead that the psalmist refers to the everlasting nature of God's words. And so too when Hashem stands over Yaakov. This is what the Rambam writes. "There was the Lord standing atop it, eternal and everlasting atop the ladder, whose upper end was in the heavens, the other on earth. All who ascend climb by this ladder, and must know him." Hashem does not literally stand on anything, but he is always atop the spiritual ladder, so to speak. And we may climb it and get nearer to him through study and work. We may know him, the Rambam says, if we reach the spiritual summit. The Rambam continues on to note that his argument, that the angels on Jacob's ladder represent a very human spiritual climb to heaven through increased knowledge of God, is actually indicated in a key detail of the story. As you may have noticed, the angels climb up the ladder to God and then descend. This is a little strange. Surely angels should descend from heaven. Why climb at all? And why should they go up and then climb down again? If they wish to be down on earth, why not skip the climb? Now, it's worth clarifying a generally confusing point that the Rambam seems to take for granted here. While we may have originally learned that the angels in Yaakov's dream represent angels in the classical sense, this is not so at all for the Rambam. Some added context may help here. The Hebrew word malach is most often translated to mean angel, and of course it does also refer to some semblance of what we think of as angels in our culture. But the word malach more literally means messenger, as in the Greek word agalos or engeloi. Since God's messengers are sometimes spiritual beings, we simply call them by that same word, angel. As you can see, angel is basically just a Greek word for a malach, and it really just means messenger. So the Rambam is about to explain that the messengers of God referenced in Yaakov's dream are not actually spiritual beings, but prophets who represent God and his messages to us. The Rambam explains. What I say here clearly fits the imagery, and the angels of God here are prophets, in the sense found in, "He sent an angel to bring us out of Egypt." That verse, of course, refers to Moshe. How fitting, the Rambam continues. How fitting that it says ascending and descending. Ascent first. After rising to a certain rung comes descent with what was gained to govern and teach those on earth. And so, Jacob's ladder actually refers to a Jewish spiritual journey. First, we study, we work on our character, we live well, and follow the commandments. In this way, we climb the spiritual ladder towards God, so to speak. At a certain point, some people become so great that God appoints them as his messengers, angels, prophets. They then descend the ladder, as in Jacob's dream, and help to govern the world like Moshe Rabbeinu did. Notice, this spiritual program does not actually only open itself to prophets. We can all climb Jacob's ladder towards Hashem, and we can all share what we know and learn with others. As an old Hasidic saying goes, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. We can all climb the ladder. Indeed, we all must climb as high as we might. And then we must share what we learn, what we experience, and what we find with others to help them, to help the world. This is Jewish spirituality in a nutshell. To become great, to draw near as possible to Hashem, and then to share what we have gained with others. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Unperplexed, where we are going to take a look at a very difficult book through the prism of the Parsha and show how it is instructive for our daily lives.